بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Ayah has been going around in my head recently, and I've been trying to figure out why. It's a well-known one. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Corruption has appeared on land and sea because of what people's hands have acquired. One meaning of this, I suspect in my own head, is the environmental crisis. It's our own silly fault that the air is no longer breathable, that the ice caps are melting, that we spend so much digging up the earth, turning the earth into strange and unnecessary things, and then throwing those things away again after a few days or months or years and burying them back in the earth again, and living most of our lives in order to earn the money in order to do those silly things. That's fasad, if you like. But there are other sorts of fasad, and all fasad ultimately is to do with the corrosion of the human soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in the earth to be obedient to Him, except the mysterious disobedience of human beings, of the sons of Adam, alayhi salam. We alone have this capacity for ma'asiyah, for disobeying our Lord. Karramna bani Adam, we have ennobled the sons of Adam. Wa hamalnahu ala al-barri wal-bahar, and we have carried him on the land and the sea. We can be above those things. We can be the crown of creation. But similarly, we are capable of being asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. This is the paradox of the human condition. We can rise higher, we can descend lower than any other creature. This even has come true, as it were, scientifically. We go to the moon, no other living creature can get that high. We can go right down to the depths of the lowest ocean trenches where nothing else can live. We can do that in our spirits as well. We can become like angels, but we can become really worse than the shayateen. And in our lives, we've met people who seem to be of those two extremes. That's part of the greatness and part of the tragedy of the human condition, that we operate on such a huge, huge spectrum. When we look at our history as an ummah and we consider ways in which the unfortunate have been uplifted by people who hope, by engaging in that process, that they will rise somewhere towards the realms of the angels. When we look at the fi'l al-khayrat, the doing of good, we find overwhelmingly that it is done individually and organizationally by people in certain categories. In classical Islamic civilization, it was the asnaf and it was the turuq, overwhelmingly, who engaged in looking after orphans. The khanaqa, the tekke, the zawiya would be the place where you would bring the foundling, more than the mosque. You could bring the foundling to the mosque and there might be somebody there who'd look after it, there might not be. The imam might be interested, he might not be. But the tekke, the zawiya, the dawtang, the khanaqa, there would always be a jama'ah there whose pride and honour it was to engage in kafalatil yateen, looking after the yateen. And when you look to this day at people who are doing that in practice, including people who don't seem to have a penny to their name, people whose houses are just filled with orphans, and I've encountered people blessed with that state in Indonesia, Africa, and elsewhere, you see that they tend to be people whose understanding of religion is always upbeat, people whose hearts melt the hearts of others, a kind of luminosity that shines from their faces that makes people trust them, and therefore they're the ones who tend to get lumbered with the difficult cases, the orphans, the widows, the handicapped. They are the ones who have been brought up to this particular high degree. Inna lillahi ibadan ikhtassahum biqada'i hawa'ijin nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has slaves, has servants who have been singled out for discharging the needs of others, and that's a very high degree. These are people who bring bishara and happiness to others. And this is one of the things that differentiates our civilization from others. Ours is not the civilization of the angry, ranting evangelical preacher who appears on your TV screen and makes you feel bad, tells you how guilty you are, tells you how sinful you are, and makes you feel so dirty inside that you have to give to his particular church or charity or organization. We don't do that. The inculcation of guilt is a traditional Christian preaching method and has nothing to do with the beautiful holiness of Islam. This is what I've seen amongst the ulama, that when they're with those who have the wherewithal to help the poor and the needy, their policy is always one of giving them good news and good tidings and raising their spirit, so that when they give, they do so out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than out of guilt. Throughout the ummah I've seen this, and historically we can see what an extraordinary success it was. That we see whole civilizations that were built on institutions that would engage in taking the least fortunate and raising them up so that they could become an elite. The Ottoman Empire, you could say, was founded on that basis. The Sultanate of Aceh, similarly. Historically, because of the mobility of Islamic cultures, we've been very good at taking in the weakest, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given those people the capacities he's given to anybody and everybody, and raising them up. This is one of the unique features of this ummah. How many of the sultans of the Ottoman Empire, of the Sultanate of Aceh, of anywhere, had wives or had mothers who were from very simple backgrounds, who were raised up to be the height of the high? That's not the case in European civilization. So essentially what I'm getting at is that this corruption that's appeared on the land and the sea and is creating such misfortune in so many societies, and it seems today particularly in Muslim societies, is something that is not new, but is exacerbated by current environmental crises, by the catastrophes of war, civil war, as in places like the Sudan, and in cases of external aggression, as was the case in Bosnia, Chechnya, Palestine, and too many other places. But the solution has to be a classical one. The solution has to be the restoration of the quality of people's souls. There have to be individuals whose houses are overflowing with goodness, and therefore which are refuges for the poor and the weak, for the widows, the orphan, and the handicapped. Institutions are wonderful, and we need more and more institutions. Those institutions are only as good as people who support them and the people who run them. The real revolution that's required in the Islamic world today is an illumination of hearts, a rejection of the stupidity of the endless pursuit of dunya that so many of our leaders now seem to be engaged in. How hard it is to persuade them to buy one less racehorse every year and to give that £60 million to orphans or to the construction of a madrasa in some needy place. It's become very difficult. And that's the essential problem. The ummah has tremendous resources. We have perhaps 60% of the world's oil, 75% of the world's natural gas, it now seems, with discoveries in Central Asia. Incredible riches, but at the same time, extraordinary poverty. The only way of dealing with that, it seems to me, is to live holy lives and to encourage others through the quality of our lives to think about those who are catastrophically less fortunate than themselves. In other words, the remedy for the current problem is a very ancient remedy, which is that we need to turn within and we need to create a revolution within. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start to do extraordinary things for the outward form and the outward institutions and the outward structures of this ummah. All too often we see fingers pointed in blame at regimes, and sometimes that has to be done. Most of the regimes that rule Muslim societies are pretty appalling. We see blaming fingers pointed at this, that, or the other organization or group or sect or faction. There is a culture of blame amongst us. But it seems to me that what we need to do is to take that finger and, with the greatest difficulty, because it's the thing we least like to do, turn it around 180 degrees until it points at ourselves. Because Allah does not change what is in a people's state. حَتَّى يُغَيْرَ مَا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ. They have to change what is within themselves. This is what we need. This is the revolution that has been missing in the last 20 or 30 years when we've been trying to effect revolutions in so many other areas. Revolution in financial services, revolution in Islamic literature, revolution in our theology, revolution in Sharia, revolution in politics. None of those things seem to have put us in a better situation than we were 30 or 50 or even 100 years ago. The real revolution that's required is a revolution of the hearts. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us to the people who will bring us to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the great good fortune of being in the company of the awliya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the extraordinary blessing and the felicity of keeping the company of people who will remind us of what we are called to be, not people who will constantly remind us of our own dirt and our own sinfulness. Because there's too much preoccupation with dirt and sinfulness and guilt in the ummah at the moment. And not enough focus on the beauty and the rahmah and the compassion and the all-forgiving nature of our Lord, who has described Himself in our scripture, as He has not described Himself, as far as we can tell, in any preceding scripture as Arham Ar-Rahimin, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. These are the qualities that melt hearts, and we need to remember and remind others that that is the Lord that we serve. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts and to make us people who soften hearts, so that the problem of orphans and the problem of widows and the problem of war and destitution throughout the ummah may inshaAllah be resolved in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have decreed. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.